It's an amazing thing that when we look at this week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu coming down to Mitzrayim, thinking that he would be immediately successful. It's amazing to see how unsuccessful he was throughout all of Parshas Shmos. See, there's a reason why he would think that it should all work out the way that it was supposed to have been. There's a reason to think that it wouldn't be otherwise. And I'll tell you why. He was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu exactly what to say to Paro. He was told the words of what he was going to say to Paro. And he said, go in and say the following. And Moshe Rabbeinu said exactly what he was supposed to say. He was told to show him three signs of miraculous nature, right? Things that were supposed to be ramazim toward things that Klal Yisrael had or things like that. The staff turning into a snake, the hand turning with saras, the water turning into blood, right? These were symbolism, symbolized things that should symbolize the fact that they were going to get out, and it should have been enough to be able to get a belief. I mean, how many times are you going to be able to say something? Number three, he was told that Aram, the current leader of Klal Yisrael, the one who was in charge of everybody, that he was going to not only be with him, he's on your side, he wants you to have this job. That he's happy to see that you took the job. So he's not against them. That leader of the Jews is going to be on his side, right? And he was told that B'nai Yisrael, when he said, I don't think B'nai Yisrael is going to listen to me, they're not going to be able to listen to me. He was told that that's Lashon Hara. You know, of course they're going to listen to you. They're going to listen to you. See, everything that he was told indicated that he was going to be successful. And it seems clear that that was going to happen. So why did it go so badly? What happened? How is it shayach that it didn't go that way? Why would a Kaddish Baruch Hu fool him so badly into thinking that he was going to go there and everything was going to work out perfectly and everything was going to be fine, and then it doesn't? Why would Hashem do that? Why would a Kaddish Baruch Hu do that? See, it's one thing to tell him, I don't know if you're going to be successful or not, but there was no word of, don't worry, it'll take a little bit. It'll take a little bit. There might be something. There's the line of Eskola Gevosai. I'll send in my plagues. But that could be assumed that that would be there if they would come in afterward, if they try to chase them afterward. How do we understand it? And you can sense the anguish when Dustin and Aviram, at the end of Parshas Shmos, standing with the Zakenim of Klal Yisrael, servants, taskmasters to the regular Jewish force, when they stand there, walking out of Paro's palace, being told that the Jews are going to have to do the impossible of gathering the straw and making more and more bricks and doing more and more all over there, right? That they would step up to Paro. They come up to Paro and they say, Paro said, they say, we can't do this. The Jews have no ability to finish off what they're supposed to do. And Paro says to them, you're just a bunch of lazy fools. Just keep going. You'll be able to do more and more and more. Pure liars and fools. Such a strange thing. Such a strange thing. You can imagine what Moshe and Aaron were thinking when they're standing out there. Dustin and Aviram come out, look over at Moshe and Aaron, and say, what in the world is wrong with you? We were slaves, but we didn't have it that bad. Since you've come, it's gotten worse. And that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu says at the end of the parsha. Nothing I said had been accomplished. Maybe there was a hint of something, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing like this. You didn't plan, you didn't make a plan for this. You didn't have any expectations for this. What am I supposed to do now? So you can imagine those cries to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying out there. And it's not the last time that Moshe Rabbeinu does, though, cries to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about something that seems to be a little bit unfair. And then, what's even stranger to me is, okay, I understand. Prakim and Psukim were made by Christians. That was not made by Jews. And granted, we took it on because it makes a lot of sense to have a Perek and a Pusik to be able to explain where something is. I get that. But we didn't make Prakim, we didn't make Psukim. So the fact that Perek Vav Pusik Aleph is the last Pusik of Shmos, and Perek Vav Pusik Beis is the beginning of Parshas Va'era, that doesn't bother me so much. Who cares? Some Christian guy messed up. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that it does seem like it's in the middle of a conversation. Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did you do this to the people? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. What's the response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? His response is, now you'll see. Atotira. Now you're going to see what I'm going to do. And then this week's parsha by Yomar Elokim, Va'era El Avram, El Yisro Yaqbai, appeared to the others. The Kil Shakai, Ushmi Yud Kepa Kelona Dati Lahem. It's in the middle of a conversation. There's no break there. Moshe Rabbeinu asks the question. Hashem says, now you'll see. And then the Parsha stops. And Parsha Shmos ends. And Parsha Be'era begins. That's so strange. Why wouldn't you start the parsha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Moshe? Why wouldn't you start the parsha with Moshe Rabbeinu's question to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why would you stop right in the middle? Now again, I have no mustak in where the Aliyahs go. I have no clue, and I've yet to find a safer that explains Aliyahs. Why Shlishi will be in the middle of nowhere. Why Revi is in the middle of nowhere. There's an Aliyah this week's parsha that stops in the middle of Arav. Right in the middle of Arav. And the Sumti Fidus is the beginning of a new Aliyah. That makes absolutely no sense to me at all. But okay, Aliyahs I can at least understand. But a parsha? This is a brand new idea. Put HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words together. In this way, I hate to say it this way, but it sounds like the Christians are right. The Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph, belongs in the beginning of this week's Parsha. Not Perek Vav Aleph there, Perek Vav Beis here. It sounds like they're both the same. So what's the message? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to tell them? And how is it that we separate? What's the idea behind what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to say to Moshe Rabbeinu? This is not going to be one of those typical, we don't know God's plan, so just don't worry about it, and everything will work out in the end. This is not going to be the typical way of understanding it. It's not going to be like that. But it is using that concept and just taking it a little bit further. Rav Hirsch brings up an idea, really amazing, absolutely amazing, in the scope of how he understands how all of Parsha Shmos work, and really all of Bereishis. He says, Va'iro Avram, O Yitzhak Bel Yaakov, Bekel Shakai. Now, Kel Shakai is a reference to the word Elohim. That Elohim is the way that God appeared to the others. There's a connection between them, but let's just go with the fact that it says Kel and understand that as being Elohim. But either way, Elohim is the name that was appeared to them. What does Elohim mean? Elohim is the gematria of 86, which is Hatev. The way that the natural world works. The way the world works in a normal fashion, in which everything goes as if there is no creator there, as if there is no Baal HaBayis, no one's in charge, and things just happen. That's the way the world runs, that's the way the world goes. Despair, the degradation they went through, the sadness, all the issues, the misery that the Jews had while staying in Mitzrayim, while dealing with what was happening in Mitzrayim, stems from natural conditions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed to happen. Egypt was strong, the Jews were weak. Egypt took advantage of those that were weak. That's an obvious idea that happens, so to speak, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's input. That's what you'd expect to happen without anybody else involved. The strong defeats the weak. In the animal world, in the natural world, that's the way things go. You have that, so to speak, natural selection that allows things to happen. As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't put himself there. And that is what Elohim means. Elohim is the master behind the scenes that makes it look like he's not there. He allows the forces of nature to make something happen. But not only is he making the original force of nature happen, he's behind every force of nature. Every second of that force of nature, all the way through. Although it seems to be natural progression or regression, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there every step of the way making sure it happens, but you will not see it. There is nowhere that you can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand in all of this. No way. There's no way that people can see it. And normal places, this is the way for normal things to happen. Now, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shmi Yudke Vavke Lona Dati Lona. I never showed them a name Yudke Vavke. By the Avos, they never saw the world with me appearing in a grandiose fashion. Avraham Avinu did win a war against the four kings. In theory, that could be done if Avraham Avinu had all those 318 above him with him. That doesn't have to be supernatural. The Kibshana Esh is not written in the Torah. The way the Torah has shown us how the Avos have gone through their lives, although we know, because the Torah tells us, there were Nisim. There were no Nisim gluyim in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed himself to the people. In theory, a person could look at the Avos and say to them, say that the world has run in a natural fashion and they were just really good people in the right place at the right time. And that's what many people thought. As great as Avraham was, as great as Yitzchak was, as great as Yaakov was, there is a way of looking at it in which they could see it. And they say, well, yeah, I guess I could see how that could happen. Avraham was a great man. Yitzchak was a great man. Yaakov was a great man. They were able to get things that others were. There was no direct hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu involved in anything that happened during that time, says Rav Hirsch. And I think that one can understand that by going through Parshas Sefer Bereishis. I think that could be understood in a very, very simple form when going through the Avos. But not anymore. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not anymore. Now, Yudkei Vavkei is coming into play. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name of Yudkei Vavkei is where he's Haya Ovediya. He is involved directly. He's putting himself in the fray. He's saying, here I am, and I'm going to show you exactly what I can do. I'm going to make sure that no one will say that this is natural. That everyone will see that I'm directly involved. That Moshe Rabbeinu will pick up a staff and make the plagues happen. He will make the plagues happen when he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to be. He's going to be involved. This is not going to be natural. He's not going to allow there to be a natural bloody river to be there. Or frogs automatically coming onto earth. These are going to be supernatural. The hand of God, the finger of God, that everyone is going to agree to and everybody is going to say there's something going on. Chaos is going to reign. It's going to be a world where people don't understand it, and without God it's confusing. This is a development that needs to happen over the course of history. And it needs to happen this way. I needed the Avos to see it in a natural pressure, a natural course. I needed the people to be around to see such a thing happen, and then all of a sudden make this happen. And here's the idea. You're complaining, Moshe Rabbeinu, because the way you're seeing the world, it seems like everything's getting worse. Since you came, it's been getting worse and worse and worse for the Jews. He says, you haven't seen that it's been getting worse for a while now? I want you to think. Look at Avraham Avinu's life. Avraham Avinu was awesome. Avraham Avinu was the pinnacle of the history of the Jews in the times of Sefer Bereishis. He had Gerim, Nefesh Rasi Bacharim. He had tons of people that loved him. They called him the Nesi Ha'aretz, the Nesi Elokim, the Chizim called him. Everyone knew about Avraham Avinu. The Gemara Bava Basra says they had coins that had Zakin and Zakena on it, referring to Avraham. And when he gave birth to a child, Yitzchak, it said Bachram Bachura on the side. They were able to figure out, people knew he had fame, he had fortune, he had everything. And then Yitzchak Avinu came along. And Yitzchak Avinu was not as famous as Avraham Avinu. He's known as the son of Avraham. But he's not known in the same vein that Avraham Avinu was. There are no coins for Yitzchak. But even Yitzchak was still Nea Sha'arim. He was able to have all of that grain. He was able to become extremely wealthy and influential, even by the Plishtim. He was able to do tremendous things, but not on the level of Avraham Avinu. It slowly regressed. And then as time went on, and Yaakov Avinu came along. Yaakov Avinu became an Eved, scared of Esau, scared of Laban. Goes into Shechem, does not own the land, sits by himself. No longer, forget about the fame. He concentrates on his family and his family alone. He fights and wins. But it's a fight that he doesn't want to make. It's a fight that he doesn't want to have. He doesn't want to have to do anything if he doesn't have to. He wants to stay on his own. Little by little, that fame was lost. Little by little, the Shvatim go down until Mitzrayim comes along, and little by little, they become slaves. And as time goes on, it gets worse and worse and worse. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't you see this has been from the beginning? It's been from the beginning. We've started with Avraham Avinu, and I appear to Avraham Avinu that way, and it's been slowly but surely getting worse and worse and worse until right now, granted, you're on the lowest stage that you've ever been. It's never happened this way. You've never seen a people be like this. And it's really bad, I agree. It's been really, really bad for everybody there. But this is the exact point. You have to bring yourself to the lowest level for your nation to start over again in a different way. For a man like Avraham Avinu to start a nation, people understand that. Avraham Avinu is a powerful guy. Everyone loves Avraham Avinu. He's the man of Avraham. For him to start a nation makes a lot of sense. People look at it and say that's the natural progression of things. A man like Avraham starts a nation. That makes sense. For even Yitzchak, even Yaakov to start nations, that makes sense. For a nation to come out of the dirt from a bunch of slaves in the middle of nowhere who were oppressed beyond normal oppression, for a nation to form from them, and not only a nation, but a nation that will lead the world, that will be there and be in charge of the world, to show the world what to do, you need a nation that is so downtrodden, there is no one but God that can pick them up. They must be in this level. They have to be lower and lower and lower so that everyone, even Paro, can see this is the hand of God. This is what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing. I don't want that for you the same way that I want for other nations. The other nations can start whichever way they want, by a powerful person, a guy up there. It could be in a natural way. You have to be a supernatural nation. You have to be a nation that's different from everybody else, different in everything that they do. You have to be able to proclaim to the world and say to everybody, you see what God does? Look at us. Look at who we are. And throughout our history, we have to be the people that are constantly, that we are dealing with threats at all times, and not only survive, but thrive through those things. And somehow be that nation that everyone knows about in the middle of nowhere. The only way for that to happen is for your nation to be formed by God. The only way for you to survive this is for you to be formed by God. If you're formed from a human being, it'll never work. I have to be seen, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, as the only hope. As the only hope. So he sent in Moshe and Aaron and had them fail miserably in Parshas Shmos. Had them fail to the point where Moshe Rabbeinu looks back and says, I don't know what to do. I've got my hands up in the air, God. I can't do anything else. I did everything you told me to do. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. What else is there? Shmos is the culmination of human leadership. And Va'era starts the beginning of God's chosen nation. It's a different parsha. It's a different world. Hashem's response to Moshe of, stay back. Don't worry. It'll all happen in its time. That's the idea that a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs us to understand. That's the human parsha, the human element of things, where you have to say, alright, I guess we'll wait for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to take care of it for us. That's our world. Hashem's world starts with, look at how the world runs. Look at how I've let it go like that. And then all of a sudden, I am going to be the one in charge. We look at our world today, and we sit there, and we have 12 million Jews, and 11 million Jews are gone. Gone. No shaitis. Nothing at all. Nothing. I had people over on Friday night, and I said this over to some of you, who couldn't understand, if I'm not allowed to use electricity, why can I flush a toilet on Shabbos? Why am I allowed to flush a toilet on Shabbos? There are four people at my house who had never been to a Shabbos meal before. They're 25 years old. They had never been to a Shabbos meal before. That's crazy. Crazy. Do they know about Shabbos? They know about Shabbos. It's like Shabbos. Maybe they went to a Hillel gathering when they were in University of Illinois, and maybe something happened there. Hope they're not listening. But regardless, maybe they had something like that. But more than that, nothing. This is the world that we're living in. We're living in a world where we are, we're down, and we're going down. And we can't understand what to do. How are we going to survive with these darn cell phones around? How is it going to happen? In another 10 years, literally people won't be able to look up. They won't be able to do it. You think Twitter's bad? Can you imagine the next thing that's going to come out? It's going to get worse. I don't understand how it can get any better. What are we supposed to do with this? It's not about trying to figure out God's plan. And it's not about just the acceptance. It's the knowledge that part of this is the plan. It's the pure idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world with a system that when He wants to show Himself, He will, and the world changes. Everything is all of a sudden different. Everything's completely different. It's a world where we have bitachon that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of things. We have emunah that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of things. And Yetzias Mitzrayim is that emunah. And it's a constant that we have to think about and say to ourselves, what does God want from us? He wants us to understand even this is part of the problem. Even this is part of the plan. We have to consider ourselves, literally, as the true reason for why the world exists. The true reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted a world. Because we were created through Him. We only exist and subsist because of Him. And if you think that way, then even the bad things that happen, even when we have daily occurrences where we sit there and we say, this is hard, this is something different, it's not only that we say to ourselves, it's okay, God's plan is like this. We see this as a kiyum of God's plan. We see it as a kiyum. This shows us godless to Adam, our own godless, our greatness within ourselves, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to go through this to understand it's truly all Him and there's nobody else involved. I can't do anything without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the plan, that's the concept. The idea that Rav Hirsch is trying to say over here is not just that bad things can become good, it's that bad things are good. It is the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world. It's the system. This is how it works. And it's perfect in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can show the rest of the world, this is what I can do. The Beis Hamikdash has to be in the hands of Arabs right now. The Eretz Yisrael has to be in a situation of fear, which we wish weren't there, but the reality is it's there. We see this as part of the future that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of this world. To consider that idea. To consider this. I read this 3 nights ago, and I sat there shocked, thinking how this could apply to our world today. It's a different world when you think of it this way. We'll stop this. I want you to think about this for a little bit more, but to consider what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. Have a good